Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for hitting whatever button it is on whatever device you're using to start the Holderness Family Podcast.
Remember to subscribe.
Yes.
And if you like it, leave a review.
That's huge.
If you don't like it.
Actually, you can leave a review then. I like hearing everyone's opinions. I appreciate all of them.
I'm kidding. And guys, we even have a podcast line. You can call us.
A telephone line.
If you will. Very new technology, the telephone. 323-364-3929. 323-364-3929. Leave us your name, tell us where you're from, and a question. We might play it in next week's episode.
Yeah, one guy called and he wanted to try to sell me search engine services.
Yeah, cool.
So thanks. Well, I don't know if we're going to use this to buy things, but we'd love to have your input and just have you talk
about
whatever's going on.
Yeah, don't try to sell us anything. Anyway, today, one of my most favorite podcasts, we had the pleasure of talking with our friends. We're calling them our friends.
I think we're there now.
Okay, Sean and Andrew East.
I think when you're on like a text chain with people and you're talking about meeting up somewhere, you're friends.
Okay. Their podcast, Couple Things, which by the way, was just nominated for People's Choice Award.
Yeah.
And we knew you guys would love them as much as we do. So we invited them to be guests on this podcast.
Right. Their podcast was great. We got to a lot of issues and we got even farther on some of them today. In case you're wondering, Sean East was formerly Sean Johnson, who was an Olympic medalist and a big part of the U.S. Olympic world. And they have, you know, other than being professional athletes, they're also doing a great job on social media right now.
Okay. So Sean Johnson East is an Olympic gold medalist, New York Times bestselling author, and winner of Dancing with the Stars. Andrew East is an NFL football player and former American Ninja Warrior competitor. Sean and Andrew were married in 2016. They have two kids, two-year-old Drew and five-month-old Jet. Sean and Andrew are one of social media's favorite couples, and you can find their channel, The East Family, on YouTube, where they share things about marriage, kids, projects they're working on, and again, their podcast, Couple Things. They have a lot going on. They are lovely, lovely humans, and I love their take on youth sports. I love their take on transitioning from really amazing high-level athletic careers into YouTube. So it's a really fascinating conversation, and I hope you enjoy.
They have wisdom beyond their years for their age, which I don't know what it is. I know they're younger than us, and they seem wiser than us. So good fit for the podcast. Welcome, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
We'll pretend that we haven't been talking for 5 minutes already.
By the way, you guys, we were on your podcast last week and it looked so good that we are recording this. So we may have a video portion of this. I wasn't aware of it before starting. So I look horrible. You guys look great.
Also, I just asked you, do you want us to record video? And he said no. So,
well, we're just recording it on our computer so we can get you guys. Wait, is there like a better way to do that? You guys know podcasting better than us. What should we be doing here?
This works. This is, you know what? Okay. My big thing is just get started and then you can make edits from there. But yeah. Why don't we put this out there and see what's how it goes.
Okay. Okay.
Perfect.
Back up. How did you two meet?
Yes.
The short version?
No, this is a podcast. You go as long as you want. The floor is yours. Version.
I went to the 2012 Olympics to work.
Casual flex.
I went to a USA track cycling event.
Okay.
And I met one of the athletes. His name is Guy East. We talked for a very long time and he just kept bringing up over and over. He's like, you need to meet my younger brother. I think you guys would be perfect for each other. I thought he was crazy. We flew back to the States. I was on Dancing with the Stars. I don't
casual
mean that
flex,
as
a flex.
Oh, gosh. And Guy East and his little brother, Andrew, flew out to Dancing with the Stars to go on basically like a blind date with me and one of my friends.
And I crushed it. And she didn't talk to me for 9 months after that. But I was still optimistic. And I got a second date. And then I landed the plane. There we are. Two kids later.
I love this. I love this.
All right. So that was a pretty short one. And I've got some follow-ups. Okay. Was this one of those like TV dates that they put in the show? Or was it off camera?
That's a great question. This is completely off camera. Okay. So sidebar, long story. I was getting out of a relationship that probably wasn't healthy. It wasn't healthy.
Let's talk about your ex for a little bit, Sean. You mind? Let's just.
That's the new title of the podcast is Ex-Boyfriends.
Yeah. Let's talk about my ex. And my girlfriend that was like living with me at the time, she said, if you could go on a date with anybody, like anybody right now, who would it be? And for some reason, Andrew's name came up. And I was like, I remember a guy telling me about his brother. I'm really like intrigued by this. So I texted him, like cold texted him, because I had his number through Guy. And it was not classy. I texted him at like midnight after I had a drink.
Was it like, hey, what are you doing?
It was even worse. It was like, again, midnight, few glasses of wine in. And I was hey, want to come to L.A.?
Want to fly out to L.A., question mark.
And then this is where it gets really sketchy. I fell asleep. And I woke up to a text. I'm here.
That is the cutest. That is adorable. Yeah.
Adorable and slightly creepy.
Yeah. So I would never recommend to like my daughter to like, hey, text a guy then meet him.
And then ghost him.
And then go somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, but it worked out.
It worked out.
Sean, are you the kind of person where if you go out to dinner, it's kind of hard to get all the way through without someone coming over and asking for a picture? Because, I mean, you have a very recognizable face, especially for people like us who are huge fans of the Olympics and remember your... And then plus Dancing with the Stars. Is that tough?
Yeah, it is. And that was my biggest fear that night was that was going to happen.
Yeah,
and then it was going to be like an overzealous person.
Yeah.
Why was that a fear of yours?
It did happen.
Okay.
It's been so interesting. Sean has been, in the limelight since she was 12 years old when she turned a professional gymnast. And I did not live that life until, I guess, like me marrying you has dragged me, I guess, somewhat in there into the limelight. But
not your like professional NFL career or anything.
Not at all.
No,
okay. It's literally just marrying you.
Well, it's so weird though, Andrew, because I'm interrupting because I interrupt people.
Please.
So the NFL is a weird place because all of the people in the NFL are handsome as shit, right? But they wear, but it's not like basketball. They wear helmets. And so people's faces, like you don't recognize people's faces in the NFL.
Yeah. 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 It's a huge, I've thought about that too. I feel like there's a massive, no. All these NFL players get kind of shafted as far as, you know, the NBA players, their face is on TV. They're mm-hmm. on the highlights on ESPN, like Sports Center. But if you're Ezekiel Elliott or running back, whatever your position,
I don't know what he looks
it's just
like.
A number. That's all you see. So it limits your runway, if you will, I feel like. But say just having an outsider's perspective of fame, like has been a really educational experience. And there's definitely been some unique challenges that have come along with that. Like, I used to get so frustrated at Sean. I'm like an extrovert or whatever. Like, you I love talking to strangers, love getting to know whoever. And I used to get so frustrated because I'm like, Sean, you can just, like, you know, ask these people what their names are and how they're doing when they come up to us at dinner. And she was like, you don't understand, Andrew. And I was like, I do understand. But then when you go through that 10 times in a dinner for every dinner for the past 18 years,
it's a lot.
I could see how that would be a little bit disruptive.
You just don't eat dinner. Just don't eat dinner.
Yeah.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Gold medalist, you know, professional, like NFL player. So it's like super weird that I'm about to say, I feel like we have something in common. Because we're like middle-aged mom and dad.
Right.
But in this second part of your lives here, you've kind of reinvented yourself to the fact that, like, my kids, of course, know Olympics and they know sports, but they know you as social media. They know you as YouTubers. Yeah. So I feel like that's where we have a little bit in common. So you work together, you're married, you're raising kids together. I'm assuming you're with each other like 24 hours a day.
Every second of the day.
Yeah. How's that going?
And we'll lay out. The next 20 minutes are yours.
It's going well. You guys probably know this just as well as we do. There are times where it's like, I just want some time by myself. Like, I love you, but I need to leave for an hour.
No offense here. I freaking feel the same thing. Yeah. Can we cut this interview?
No. Solo time right there. Okay. You guys have to see. Really hard.
Yeah. We try really hard. At least we try every day, but it's really hard. We try to have at least an hour each to, like, go do whatever we want, whether it's work out or just have alone time. But, you know, that's really hard as now parents too.
Sure.
By the way,
yeah,
our interview with you guys, our audience loves you. Yes. They were saying, aww. I don't know who the other couple they were talking about. They were saying two of our favorite couples on the internet in one aww. Place. And I was like,
aww, well, that's we're so not sweet. It,
but some, them and somebody it. Else. Anyway.
Well, so what is that? I want to know what that hour looks like. I think we've all, like, we've got that same thing, but we don't delineate the hour. I think it's a good idea just to say 1 hour, like, time out. So we're going to go.
He plays tennis.
That's mine. I'm either like working out or playing tennis. And sometimes tennis takes a little longer than an hour. Thank you, baby.
And then this is advanced, though, you guys. So he plays tennis in the evening. This is advanced marriaging. And so
I have a curfew.
He has a curfew. And if he's not back in the bedroom, like, showered by 9:30, he sleeps in the guest room. And let me tell you, it's lovely.
It's a win-win.
It's lovely.
Great.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get home late and watch whatever I want to super loud in the bed as late as I want to.
Because I need it totally black. And, I need black. I need no light. I need no cell phones on. And he would prefer to stay up later. So you can still have a happy marriage and do all the marriage things and then sleep in a separate bed. So I'm just putting that out there.
Wait.
Occasionally. I feel like twice a week.
Kim and I, you miss it. You've... Like, this is a frequent thing?
Twice a week.
You don't make that.
Well, I mean, if I get home.
Twice a week, he sleeps in the guest room.
Yeah, because we start at 7:30, and like, we'll play until the sprinklers come on, and that's usually about 10 minutes after 10, and I get home, and I can't just go straight to bed. I mean, once you're done working out, you need to, like, relax a little bit. So there's a whole shower, contact, like, lenses. Everything is in the guest bathroom for my perusal at that moment. And then we, like, wake up in the morning and we're like, oh, hey, I missed you. Love you. Where have you been? It's like you're away on a work trip. But
first of all, Ben, I'd love to get you one-on-one on the tennis court.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that always goes well when I play professional athletes. I always do really well against them. And they're always like,
to the gym.
I guarantee. He's like, well, I just got started. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Pow, 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 pow. But yes, I'm down.
Would love that.
I'm going to take that trick, though, Kim, because I like to go to bed early, and Sean's always, like, frustrated. But I feel like
give her a curfew.
Yeah, so, okay, so, Sean, you're the night owl, then?
Yeah, just because I don't, like, you know, I don't get any time to myself during the day.
Yeah.
So I don't get to watch, like, my shows, or I don't get to, like, do that kind of stuff. And I want to do that at night, even if it means sacrificing sleep.
What do you do with your hour, though?
What do I do with my workout?
Yeah.
That's what I would do, for sure.
With friends. You work out with friends.
I would prefer to, like, go to this gym that I really like with my, like, workout group, and we do, like, a personal workout session.
And I work out in our basement alone. Ideally with the lights off, but that's just kind of suffered.
Interesting. You're more extrovert, but like to work out alone, and you're more introvert, Sean, and like a group.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that kind of counts your social, like the workout, like the social thing. You check two boxes there and you get a workout in. I like that.
Yeah. Cause it's not like my best friends. The trainer is a really good friend of mine. So it's like three of us who do like a private session, which I love.
That's a great idea.
And we decided we can't work out together. That ends in, that's a nightmare.
Really?
I don't know how you guys do
it. Is it too competitive? Is that why?
Yes. Mm. I correct his form too much and he gets really mad.
That's funny because both of you are world-class athletes. Like, and I guess I could see that. I mean, neither of us are world-class worker outers. So I think we do it better. Good. We had to work out together training for The Amazing Race, which, by the way, the episodes, we can say this now, the episodes come out January the 5th. Kim and I trying to race around the world in a global pandemic, which is.
Did you win?
No, we can't say anything.
Son of a gun.
Did I not tell you guys this?
But we
once if you won, blink twice.
So we can't say.
When I first talked, he was like, "Oh, we took like a month off in Europe." You son of a gun! How is the amazing race?
Sorry, it was.
So we had to train together, which was funny because you have to stay together. The whole rules of the race.
You can't be more than 10 feet apart from your partner.
Yeah. So the amazing race, it was like a bucket list thing for me. It was one of those things where we were never going to do any sort of reality show ever. But I always said, except for The Amazing Race, we'd do The Amazing Race. But we were going to definitely be the old people on there.
We were the old people on there.
So poor Penn, he would just have to, he could only be as fast as me because you have to stand within 10 to 20 feet of your partner at all time. So
a lot of weighted belt training. Anyway, we trained together and there, Sean and Andrew, I'm feeling your pain. It's like a whole new level of kind of relationship training when you have to work out together. So
I want to do that right now.
What?
The Amazing Race.
Oh, you guys.
I know. It's a dream of ours as well.
You got to leave your family for a month and you can't tell them anything.
And no cell phones for a month.
That's the main issue.
I have to say, you could do it now.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that right now.
No, but you have two kids under two, though.
Yeah, no.
But they would, I have to say, like, they would just, like, not remember it.
But Sean would and Andrew would remember it.
I could say that as like a mother now, like a 14-year-old and 11-year-old. Like, when they're two, they just.
Yeah, we abandoned our daughter in her first month in high school.
Yeah.
Ooh.
To go to Europe. So we're still paying for that
a little bit. Okay.
Anyway, I want to get back to them.
I know that we've talked about
this. Is we've brought you guys on the podcast to have you listen to us talk about ourselves so far.
No, okay. This is what I want to talk about.
Okay. So, Sean, you retired at 20.
Yes.
Okay. And now you're a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that transition and what that has been like to go from this, like, what I can only imagine incredibly, like, competitive, like, structured, like, that sports environment is so structured. And now you're doing YouTube where there's, like, no filter. It's not as polished as all that other stuff. Like, what has that been like?
You're talking about, like, a really rough 5-year transition of Andrew and I's career, life, and relationship. I'll try to summarize it, I guess. retiring at 20 from professional gymnastics. I then went into sports marketing. So I did all of your traditional like campaigns and ads. I worked with McDonald's and Coca-Cola. I was brand sponsor or brand ambassadors. I did like the UNICEF kick. I did USO tours, all of that. And all of those were very, very by the book. I had to look a certain way. I had to say certain things. I kind of had my brief of like, these are the parameters you have to live within. So with every single thing that I did, even in gymnastics, I had to put on a certain face and be a certain person. And then Andrew comes along and he finds YouTube and he wants to go into this content creation world. And I was like, you are out of your mind. Like you will never catch me on video without makeup, without having my talking points, without having my politically correct jargon for controversial issues, like all of this stuff. And we really butt heads for at least a solid year because I kind of found my bread and butter in my career and I knew how to do it. I knew how to be that person. But the idea of showing a raw and real side of myself in our relationship scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But we kind of lived in a cohesive world where I did both for a while. He ran the content creation. I still kind of did the marketing side. And then when the year we got married, probably.
When I started pulling you around the country for teams.
So yeah. When we got engaged in 2016,
you were still in the NFL at that point, Andrew, right?
Yeah. We've been making YouTube videos for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think we should do YouTube full time because my NFL career was not working out. And so that's what I was kind of banking on as a plan A. And then YouTube started like picking up steam. We were loving it even more than Sean, you know, doing her speeches and appearances and me on the NFL. I was like, I like YouTube better. So then the script flipped and I started doing the NFL as kind of a
side
like
gig,
a side thing.
That's hilarious.
Just for YouTube content. Right.
And then I quit everything in sports marketing. And honestly, like it was terrifying because I didn't know if like paychecks would still be coming in and we were living this lifestyle or traveling all the way across, like all over the country.
Sean was the sugar mama there for a little bit.
we were ridiculous. And it was really scary, but it was such a breath of fresh air because I could finally be myself and I didn't have to live within those parameters. Like I thought I was comfortable there, but I actually wasn't. So being able to tell a story of my own and of our own was actually really fulfilling in a way.
So Sean, how was it telling the story of your, like being open and honest, the story about your miscarriage? Like, what was that like? That was a phenomenally well done video. I want to start with that. You guys, even from a producer standpoint, you guys immediately connected with the audience in the first 20 seconds or so. And you absolutely showed everything. And it's something, as you said, that so many people go through. I feel like that was your first real foray out of what you used to do and into what you're doing now.
So that was truly the first time we ever kind of went into the vulnerable side of our life. I feel like up until that moment, we were still pretty reserved. And that was a very strange thing for us because we filmed all of that for ourselves. We never intended to share it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that.
Because at the time, we were doing like gymnastics videos and that type of content. And this was not.
No.
What we were.
This was all truly personal footage for ourselves and like home videos and just to celebrate what was going on. And when I miscarried, I remember having a conversation with Andrew. It was basically that night, so not even 12 hours later. And I was heartbroken and I had no idea. I had never felt that type of loss before and vulnerability and pain. And I didn't even know how to communicate with Andrew about it. I didn't know how to have a conversation. I didn't know how to explain how I was feeling. And I was actually the person, believe it or not, coming from like the very reserve side that said, can we post this?
Wow.
And for me, that was very, very out of my normal and out of my comfort zone. But I just kept feeling like maybe if I shared it with someone, like the mass crowd, at least one person would be able to tell me how I can get through it. And so we edited that video that night. Mm-hmm. I bawled the entire time as we did it. I still remember like the music that we chose. It was a very therapeutic experience. And I remember posting it and just sitting there for hours reading people's responses and just crying, reading how many thousands of women said, I went through this so many times and I'm there with you. And it truly was just a therapeutic experience for me and for us that kind of opened a door to a whole different world of social media we had never seen before.
Do you know all those comments got deleted?
What?
They're all gone.
There's no comments.
There's a way to, and we can show you how to, I don't know if you can. There's a way to turn them back on. Yeah.
What, we can't see the old ones though, can we?
Potentially. I don't know about that, but there's a way to turn them back on because a YouTube went through, this is a couple years ago, and wiped all comments because they were trying to, as they should have, they were trying to clean up comment sections, especially when it pertained to children and your pregnancy video fell under that category. So they just wiped them all. So there's a, I don't know if you can get the old ones back, but you can turn them back on. But I will say, just from sitting here, I know that video and what you do does help people. So I'm glad you shared that. And I do think that's a beautiful part of what we get to do, right? Is that you can share that and then you never know how you're going to connect with somebody. And just, we experience it all the time. And it's just the cool, I mean, the internet is not perfect, but that's the coolest part of this.
I think for us too, in that experience, it was the first time we both truly experienced the perfectionism side of social media, how toxic it could be.
Yeah.
Cause going through that, there was no way we could just post another pretty picture and be like, oh, everything's happy in the East household. And so it really opened us up to a different world of let's stop trying to make things look so nice and just like be honest about it.
It felt like a turning point in your content. And I think hopefully you guys realized when you did it that you don't need makeup and lights and anything. You guys are beautiful people. I think that's what that video showed, that you guys are beautiful people. I think the videos from there took on a whole new light.
So Andrew, I've been hearing that you're the person, you were in NFL, which I think it's hilarious that the NFL was a side gig for content. I love that. It's amazing. Because most kids, like little boys' dreams is to be in the NFL and you're like, not working out.
Well, it was my dream. Mm-hmm. It was my dream. And then about 2 years in, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out for me. Like I was a super marginal player. Like I was probably good enough to make a team, but it had to be the right situation and like a little bit of luck. So then I was like, all right, well,
I disagree. I know.
Sean's so passionate. She thinks that I'm not talking down about my career.
You're better than Tom Brady. Okay.
Absolutely. You
married the right person.
Absolutely better than Tom Brady. Yeah.
You're amazing. What position did he play?
He was a long snapper.
Oh, good. You got it.
But it was like, I was just looking at my situation and I was thinking how, at first I was bummed because like I keep bouncing from team to team to team. This stinks. Like I thought I was going to be with the Chiefs, who I first signed with for 15 years and then, call it quits from there and retire. But then I started looking at it like, wait, this is really cool that I get a bounce from team to team to team. Like Tom Brady was on the Patriots for 20 years. Like he hasn't seen the difference between the Patriots and eight other different teams. Like I signed 8 or 9 different contracts and I viewed it from a different lens. And then we started documenting. I think I removed them all since, but documenting me signing and getting cut and all this different stuff. I was actually afraid the NFL was going to
Well, because way back then, I think that those brands were very short-sighted and they wanted this polished, perfect thing. So they probably wouldn't have wanted it. But in hindsight, it would have been the best thing for them to have a social media star on their team.
And because the majority of players are in my situation too. Like you have like maybe 5 players on any roster that are just the staples, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman and like Gronk. Mm-hmm. And then you have 45 other players who are bouncing from team to team to team. Nobody really knows their names typically. And anyway, so it was that story I was telling.
Professional sports, and I'm going to include the Olympics as a professional sport, whether or not they get paid, because it is on that level. It's the best in the world. It's very interesting talking to athletes about it because the forward facing side is so different from the real side. The NFL, I've talked to plenty of athletes who've said the same sorts of things. Gymnastics, Sean, you've opened up some about this. We even started talking about it a little bit in our last podcast, that, and particularly with all the mental health things that it popped up with Simone.
We call her just Simone.
Yeah, we're
just
friends Simone. Now.
Simone. She is a first name person. Yeah. So.
Has you've got this platform? Has part of you wanted to just press record and go?
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh! A million times, and I feel like we've tried.
Mm-hmm. We have.
We have.
We have a lot of videos that we've recorded on a lot of different issues in that world that have not seen the light of day, just because it's such a.
I don't think I can do it justice. I remember too. We even hired like a producer and tried to articulate what it was I felt. But I truly believe the girls who are the voices of gymnastics right now. So you have your Simone. You have your Allie Raisman, Michaela Maroney, all of those girls, Jordan Weaver. I think they were meant to be the face of that sport for those topics. They have done so much justice for so many girls that even if I tried to press record on so many different topics, I don't think it would do justice. I think they are truly the faces for us, which I think is incredible. But yes, I mean, I would love to add to it, but I just don't think there's a need.
I don't know if you guys have experienced this. It's such a strange position, and we have tried to stay in our lane as much as possible. So whether it's that topic and, you know, there's this aspect of, okay, Sean has a lot of eyeballs and could bring a lot of attention and yeah, her perspective, but it's not necessarily her story to tell. So like, mm-hmm. is that like, that would be leaving our lane to,
well,
and
if it was her story,
if it's her story, it's her lane.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but also things you've, so I hear what you're saying though, Sean, is like, you don't want to be a distraction.
Yeah.
To it. But it's such an important issue. I mean, I think you would know like the right time and the right person. And if called upon by these women, you would definitely join in. Yeah.
Yes. And there's been chances to be a part of like documentaries and everything. But as far as like the victim side goes, especially specific to Larry Nassar, I wasn't a victim of Larry Nassar. I was a lucky one. And I don't know how that happens or whatever. He was my doctor for 20 years. So when it came to that topic, I definitely stood beside all of those girls and all of those women, but it wasn't my lane to say, okay, I need to talk about him as well. I wanted them to be the ones that needed to be the forefront face. But as far as USA Gymnastics is concerned and just the mental health aspect and putting athletes first and having athletes actually have a voice, if anybody asked me, absolutely, I'll give you my answer. But I do think the Allie Raisman's and Simone Biles and Jordan Weaver's are literally paving a new road for so many generations to come. And they're kind of this unit in doing it that I don't want to distract that.
And I have to say that I'm in my 40s, so it's strange to look up to somebody in their 20s. But especially when Simone Biles like said, you know what, I'm out. I was like, bless her. I was like, that is the most brave thing I've ever seen somebody do. We should all be doing a little bit of that in our lives, right? And she's on this huge stage. Yeah. I've learned a lot from somebody who's much younger than me. So I love it. Okay.
Well,
so,
and I said this to someone else the other day because they were asking about that. They were kind of trying to get my insight of like, oh, should she really have done that? Couldn't she have like just persevered?
Powered through. They use the term powered through.
Yeah. And what I told them was, even if she could, like in a hypothetical world, even if she could, coming from USA Gymnastics, no gymnast has had a voice or any power in that sport for decades. We are truly just a pawn and we have zero control of our own life. So even if she was in 100% mental state, the fact that she said to USA Gymnastics, I'm on the biggest stage in the world and I know my girls got this. I know they're going to bring home the medal still, but I'm going to actually show every generation to come in gymnastics that you are your own person and you have your own voice. I thought it literally gives me chills. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I've actually seen an athlete be able to stand up for themselves.
I mean, what you just said was so subjective and so perfect. When you said, we had no voice, we had no power. It explains everything. It explains the sexual assault. It explains the pressure to meet a certain weight, like pills, mm-hmm. like all these things that people do to try to maintain, you know, part of that pyramid, which was a really warped pyramid, really at the top where the people at the top had all the power. And we talked about this in our last podcast. So,
but I mean, don't you think that social media, that's like the reason why social media has helped? Because
absolutely.
So, and these athletes can put out on their own channels, like you have a channel now, they can put it out. Whereas before, when you were competing, you were a press release, right? Mm-hmm. Like you didn't have a way to communicate. So if something had happened, you never would have had a way to communicate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I think that that's, so knowing this, and you have two children under two, bless your hearts. And we know that in the South. Yeah. So will your children like play football? Will your children go into gymnastics?
They haven't talked about it yet.
I'm sure they've talked about it.
Everybody asks.
I'm sure.
And our answer, because we talked about this long before we ever had kids, we'll do the same exact thing our parents did, which is you can't choose your child's destiny or fate or like passions or anything. I think our job as their parents is to put them in as many things as we possibly can and let them choose what they love. And if it ends up being football and gymnastics, Lord help us. But we'll be their number one fans in the stands, and that's it.
I have so many thoughts on youth sports. I grew up in Indianapolis, and there's a town not too far that just built this massive youth sports complex where mm-hmm. there's like dozens of softball fields and soccer fields and basketball courts. And you look at that and it's like there's families uprooting all their kids and taking these weekend trips like every single weekend just so they can go all in on hopefully their kid getting a college scholarship or going professional. And I think it undermines so much about what I feel like I learned and appreciate about sport. And it also has, you know, I feel like it undermines the goal of actually going far in sport because you're going to burn out at that pace mm-hmm. when you're 8 years old and doing one sport for the entire mm-hmm. year. It's just like crazy to see.
It is. I will get up on my soapbox now. Like our son is 11. I mean, he was 10 because he played basketball and he was doing like all the things that 10-year-olds do. You just play a lot of sports. And he's like, I think I'd like to try soccer. And he's 10. He's an athletic kid. I was like, great. It is in this area where we live. 10 was too late to sign up for soccer. You'd already be on a travel team. So there was a soccer team available, but it was like,
what's your experience? I'm 10.
Yeah. And I'd like to.
I don't have a resume yet.
But every other kid, you had to be on a travel team. And then.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sorry, buddy. Can't play soccer. That's just not. I mean.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And so what these people, they're so specialized. And so we actually fight it with our daughter is very self-driven to the point where she's a freshman in high school. She's 14. We're trying to like pull her back and like show her like, you should go to the mall with your friends. Like you should socialize a little more. So I think there's a balance, but man, it's hard.
I'm not going to lie. I have never used my title for anything and neither has Andrew. Like we've never pulled the NFL card or like the Olympic card, but I cannot wait to experience that someday where some local soccer coach is like, your daughter's six.
She's not.
I would be like, excuse me. Excuse me. And like hold up a medal and like the NFL card and be like, no, she's fine.
She's fine.
Just pull checking these jeans. Medal that you always carry around in your purse. And just show the coach.
Oh, that would make me so mad though. Cause that again, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get on the soapbox with you.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, Andrew, did you only play football growing up? You probably played a lot of sports, right?
Yeah, I played a ton of sports I'm so glad. Yeah, we did cycling and swimming and rugby, lacrosse, basketball, baseball, football.
So all the sports. All of
it. You did everything.
Well,
everything.
Last soapbox thing. I'm sorry.
No, do it.
I've coached gymnastics now for so many years after I retired. I started coaching when I was 16 and I've been to so many different summer camps and I've worked at different top gyms in the country and I've gotten to see so many athletes come in and out of the gym and I've gotten to see the coaches and I've gotten to see the parents. And without a doubt, it is the kids who are balanced in life and who have parents who could honestly care less how well they do. They're just like supporting their kids and the coaches who get to celebrate the joy of it that end up doing well. it's the parents who come in and they're like, my daughter was screaming, crying because she didn't want to come into practice, but I dragged her here.
No.
It's those that turn out, like, obviously to burn out.
Yeah. No. What about the parents who love and support their kid and are okay with whatever happens, but during a game, a plane could crash next to them and they would not look away because they're so intense when they're watching That's their
him.
Kid play.
That's him.
I am such, I don't ever, I'm not mean, but I get so, like, I am locked up. I've had panic attacks watching youth sports because I'm internalizing so much of what's going on.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so excited to watch my kids play sports and I will be locked in 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really see you as the type that is,
it's,
you know,
odd, you guys
grabbing the coach by the
No, I don't grab the coach.
No.
There was focused. One tennis match where a girl called a ball out that was clearly in and I couldn't say anything and I threw a table.
We were far away.
Kim was there.
I was like, okay, y'all, she's 13 and it's youth.
I will say though, this is more for like listeners though. The greatest gift my parents ever gave me, and I think the greatest gift parents can give athletes, young athletes these days, is my parents always told me that they never cared about the sport. So if I wanted to quit on any random day, they're like, great, what are we going to do instead? And that always gave me the comfort and support that I needed to know that my worth as a child was not in my performance. You have so many coaches who are pushing on kids' success at such a young age, like you were talking about, saying if they're 10 years old, they're already, you know, phased out and they don't have enough experience. That pressure is coming at them at so many different angles. You have to know that when you go home as a kid, that your parents still love you as a kid and not as a performer.
That is such great advice did that help you though? Then when you retired, both of you,
yeah, I want to ask
if you both, and then how much of both of your identities were probably wrapped in this accomplishment, right?
Yeah. We've spent a lot of time thinking about this and I honestly kind of think that if you make it far enough, the further you go in a sport, the harder it is to transition out of it, no matter how supportive or encouraging your parents were. Like Sean had fantastic parents, as did I. But then, you know, she's been doing it for 18 years. And at some point, your entire friend group and your entire schedule and your entire, you know, set of activities is about the sport. And so when she hung it up, when I hung it up, actually, I'm not officially retired yet, okay. But when I was done, it's like, you look around, you're like, okay, well, first of all, you show up to the family, you know, holiday dinner and everyone's like, oh, so how's football going? That's the only thing that you've talked about for 18 years. And you're like, oh, I don't do it anymore. And then they're like, oh, I don't know what to talk to you about now. You know?
I'm going
to
move
over
here.
It's like this. Yeah, so everything conversationally revolves around that too. But I mean, it's a tough transition, no doubt.
Mm. It's really hard. You have to reestablish your identity. And especially from being in it so long, even your lifestyle habits, what you eat, how you sleep, who you hang out with, it all revolves around your sport. So coming out of that, yes, having a close-knit community that supports you is great, but you're rewiring everything inside your brain and your heart, which is really hard. It's like coming out of a really bad breakup. It just takes a long time to get over.
Mm-hmm. So what about talking to your parents about going from gymnastics and football to YouTube? My parents still, I mean, they have dementia and they can't really talk anymore. But the last thing they each said to me was like, do you need me to give you money?
Do you need money?
Like they, what are you doing? Because we were news anchors and they're like, what are you doing going on a computer for the, and so they just, they end.
The computer pays you? How does the computer pay
the
you?
The computer is the TV? We're like, no, dad, just, do you need money? No. Oh, dad,
for five,
and now they just don't talk.
Does your family understand that, like how this all works?
My parents, I love to death. They're super, like, I don't know, conservative or traditional. Mm-hmm. I don't know what word's better. And so they are constantly like, "Hey, we talked to our friends, and they said you're doing a live show about marriage, and I just want to make sure you're not talking about, you know, your sex life." And I'm like, we're good, like. You know me, you raised me, and trust me that that's not, like, that is not in my character to talk about this craziness. So anyway, it's definitely been a fluid conversation. But
yeah, I would say the same. My parents, I think, understand it as well as any parent can, just because they went through the whole gymnastics world with me. So they went through contracts and endorsements and sponsorships. So they do have a really good grasp of it, but it's still that idea of like living your life so publicly, I think is hard for anybody to kind of wrap their heads around.
Well, yeah. And it's kind of a new concept for everybody, right? Yeah. Like that social media, no one's done the living on social media before 10 years ago. So yeah. We're all figuring it out.
By the way, Andrew, we wrote a book and we had a chapter about sex, and Kim told her mother which chapter not to read.
It's a chapter and a half. There's like another chapter that deals with it as well. And my mother's she's like an editor for a living. So I was like, will you read this and edit it and like give me your thoughts? And I'm like, avoid chapter 4 and then the last half of chapter 7. But then then I didn't realize the publisher switched the order of the chapters.
So she got it all.
She got it all.
She took it all.
And she's like, that was really awkward. There were some grammar issues that I corrected. I'm like, oh, mom, sorry about that. Anyway,
I love your book, by the way, sidebar. And I don't know, this is probably normal for people at this point, but I've fallen asleep to you guys for like a week straight listening to it. So whatever that's worth. I love
putting people to sleep.
That's such a compliment. The last thing that you listen that you do before you go to bed is usually something somewhat calming or that you enjoy. Like you don't normally do your taxes before you go to sleep. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So before we let you guys go, I
have more questions. I want to ask about the DIY stuff they're doing.
Okay.
Just real quick.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So we watch your stuff, obviously. And you're doing all this like beautiful like home renovation stuff. You're like the new like Chip and Joe of Nashville. Like what's happening? Tell me.
It was just on a whim.
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's go with on.
Yeah.
Both of our dads are builders. They have been their entire lives. And so we've kind of grown up around it. We know it pretty well through them. Not like we know it, but we have a general idea of like how to do all of it. And we both have a passion for it. And Andrew loves investment real estate. I love furnishing and remodeling homes. And Andrew's like, why don't we just do this for fun? We'll do one.
We had an idea. You guys know this, like when you're office is your house and your house is your office. And then you're also having cameras and all these bright lights and microphones and then screaming kids too. We're like, what if we had a spot where we could just do all the shows and also maybe other people could do content there too. Cause Nashville is like this kind of cool space for the social media world. So we have this spot that we're renovating to make it a place where we could do our podcast, do our different shows. And it's been a blast.
But we've been doing DIY with it with my dad. So my dad has actually been the general contractor on it, which I don't know if is a great thing or a bad thing. I don't know if
it's beautiful. I mean, I'm watching it. I'm following along. It's beautiful. It's doing great.
This is so bad for me.
Well, because there's a house for sale behind us.
She's going to try to buy that. No, right? It's already built and she's going to try to buy the house.
Right? I'm always an advocate for buying houses.
I was happy to have you guys on the podcast until right now.
I know. Because I was like, Penn, this is so bad. But I mean, but the prices right now are a little insane.
I'd rather build something from the ground up, except I don't know how to put paint, and I don't know how to put paint on a paintbrush.
He's colorblind. He was on an HGTV show. He's the host, and he's colorblind. So that's like...
This is true.
Dream big, kids.
You guys are both legends. Your careers are just...
We got a weird life.
We've had a weird...
All right, so I normally wake up every day, and I think there is no one I would rather be than me. I don't get jealous of people. I don't get envious of people. I'm envious of you guys for one other reasons. You're young and very attractive, but here's the main thing. Okay. You can ask him. I go to bed reading books about astronomy and space exploration. Yes. I want to be like, I'd love to be an astronaut. And so, but like, I think Sean could legitimately be an astronaut. There's a video of her in zero gravity.
They both did it. Right?
Yeah, no, I know, but he didn't.
Oh, it was
Andrew,
so much fun.
And dude. See, but Andrew, Andrew doesn't like Sean immediately got up and was doing all the motions that astronauts do, like moving around the cabin and doing like backflips and stuff. And
I couldn't even watch it. I was getting like sick watching it.
I want to know all about this.
I kid you not. If you guys want to do that, we can do it.
For sure.
But we'll have to do it together. Is it one caveat?
The anti-gravity jet?
I'm in.
It's so much fun.
I'm in.
Also, I've never gotten motion sickness until that day, but it was 100% worth it.
I watched it and got
Can you throw up
sickness.
And then still go? Or how does it work?
Yes.
Except your throw up is going to fly through the air and people are going to be
Actually, the more I've thought about it, that the more I think it's actually kind of cooler than being an astronaut. Because if you're an astronaut, like imagine you're up in space for a month and you never feel gravity. With this, you're like experiencing no gravity, and then you experience, and you're like, oh my gosh, what? You kind of see the contrast.
Wait, he probably knows about this. You do parabolas.
It's a parabolic plane. Yeah, I know all about
parabolas.
It.
Parabolas.
So
it's a sine curve. Basically, like you have to get up really high, and then it's basically at the top of the parabolic curve. It's any sort of deceleration of altitude that makes you feel weightless.
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's a hole up to here and then a little bit down. And then when they have to kind of like slow your descent, that's when the gravity comes back.
So Penguin's a science podcast.
And they're really, that whole experience was great because they were so good at coaching you through it.
I really want to do it. But so Sean, did you have like after, I'm sure you had no motion sickness, like you probably were in your element with the weightlessness of say a vault or some other move. Was there a part of you who was like, I could do this for a living?
I loved it. Yes.
You want to be an astronaut?
Sure.
Well, I feel like they're putting celebrities up in space now. She would be like a natural first person to do.
I'll
like
do
if
it.
She
I'll
wanted
sign
to.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh God. No.
Sign up. Where's the sign up form online?
I'm sure
to be an
Elon
astronaut?
Has Jeff, a
yeah. It's
sign
Elon's
sheet.
Office.
Elon.com or something like that.
We were at this
DMM.
We were at this event the other night, and Jeff Bezos was there.
Well, the People's Choice Awards. Hello, congratulations for your nomination.
Bezos. By the way, yeah, thank you. It was fun. But Bezos walked out. I was like, this is crazy. What is this freaking guy doing?
What is he doing there? Why was he there?
He presented
the
award to Dwayne Johnson.
To invite Sean on the spaceship. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
So Bezos is actually investing a little bit in his Blue Origin. They're looking speculatively into asteroid mining for like rare earth materials and stuff like that.
Oh,
that's like if you want to go like deep in, because we're running out of stuff to make computers with on Earth.
No, it's silicon, dude. We got sand.
We have that, but we don't have ytterbium. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that you have to put
this
inside.
This is a whole
He's listening to books on the periodic table, and I know
I'm telling you,
uranium, and we have silicon in both our computer chips. And can Penn and I just do this real quick?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna read the periodic table of elements to each other for a while.
Okay. I'm trying to be respectful of your time here. So you have the YouTubes, you have the podcast, you have the content house you're putting together. What else? Like what should be, and you have a tour coming up. So talk to us like what else you guys have going on?
I think you covered it, but we're doing the whole podcast tour thing starting mid January or end of January.
Yep.
We're doing 6 different cities, which will be fun. Might be a hot, disastrous mess, but it should be fun. We're coming to Charlotte.
I know. I think we're going to try to... I looked at that date, so I have it in there. I think we're going to try to zoom over to Charlotte and see you guys.
Yes. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah. It's
a, yeah. Don't tease us, though. Yeah. Are you serious?
No, we go places.
We go places.
It's like a 2.5-hour drive.
Yeah,
it's not
easy peasy. No, we go places for friends, and we're calling you guys friends.
Bad.
Yeah, it's easy.
That's enough. Like, our daughter goes to tournaments there all the time, and like we don't even really want to...
That's awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. Now we're best friends. You can't get rid of us. You guys can go play tennis.
That would be nice.
I'll go work out with Sean, but by workout,
zero gravity. I'm not kidding. I will find out about the zero gravity. We got to connect.
No, I'd like to. And I know I'm going to barf, but that's okay. It was in LA?
No, it's in LA. No, okay. They do it all over the place. We're going to figure this out, but we can talk logistics.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so anything else we're missing about the East family that we need people to know about? First of all, your kids are the cutest. How are you doing with your kids?
Oh, thank you. Fun. They're amazing. We're obsessed.
Oh my God, so fun.
They're doing great.
Are we all done? All done with the
I thought you went with the interview.
Nope.
I guess.
With kids. Are you supposed to ask people if they're done having kids? You're not supposed to ask them.
I always
it's fine
do.
To ask people. I am truly 50-50. I have no idea. After our daughter, I was like, oh, let's do it again. After this guy, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, we have a son, we have a daughter, so that like I feel good about that. If we were not gonna have any more kids for whatever reason,
he wants more.
I can tell.
Love babies, dude. I love babies, man. Oh my gosh!
But you're one of five, right? So you're used to the crazy in the middle.
And I'm an only.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like we could go like a whole nother hour talking about some birth order stuff right now.
I love the idea of more kids. I just don't love pregnancy with 10-pound babies that he gives me.
Oh my God.
So I got you.
Oh, so they skewed on the larger side.
Yeah, they're very kids. Large.
Okay.
They're very large children.
That's really funny. Yeah, I was always thought I wanted three children, and then I had two, and I realized that I'm just not somebody who does well with chaos.
And well, also, and we talked about this. You had PPD, and it was pretty serious.
Yeah, I had some like postpartum stuff, and I discovered I just like the house clean, and the more children, the more mess. And I was like,
see, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I just need order, and I don't do well. We have like some of our best friends. They just deal with it so beautifully, and it's just this beautiful chaos at all times. But I just don't. My brain doesn't allow that to happen.
Andrew, you know why the guys always want more kids? Because we don't have to
do any of that
stuff. We don't have to do anything for the actual production side.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
But I'm with you. Like I would have loved a big family, but I love the family that we have.
You better, because it's
over. Yeah, I have been surgically assured that it will not happen again.
Well, thank you guys so much. I love seeing your faces. I love talking to you. And don't be a stranger. We'll come see you in Charlotte for your show.
Yes.
Yes. Yay. And then you guys can go play tennis and it'll be fun.
Sweet.
Done.
Okay, hey, congrats on everything. I can't wait to watch The Amazing Race, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So thanks for having us on.
Well, thank you.
That was fun.
That was so fun. We love those guys. So check out their channels, subscribe to them, and remember to subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back next week with probably someone less impressive, like maybe just us, the two of us.
Probably just going to be us.
Less impressive.
Way less impressive. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.